Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word for this morning, we pray that we will gain a blessing from it that will draw us to a closer walk with you. Is our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. About 18 years ago, I read an article in the Melbourne Sun. It was a weekend paper. It was a two-page spread where this particular individual, who was a motoring journalist, gave a full account and a full report on a three-day journey that he did in what was a much-anticipated and looked-forward motor car. It was a $1.2 million Rolls-Royce coupe. Much looked forward to, much expected, a lot of hype about this car. And this motoring journalist gave a full account of a three-day journey that he took across Europe in this luxury car. But it was what he said at the end of the article that got my attention. For he said, you know, why am I bothering to give a report on a car which only 11% of the world's population can afford? Why bother? Because for 89%, this car is just a dream, beyond their reach. Why bother? And he gave a very interesting answer. The answer, he said, was, well, deep down in the hearts of us all, we still want to know that the car is still there. We want to believe in the dream of this car, so we take something out of knowing that it's still there. That is still number one. Made me stop and think. Here we are talking about a car that we want to know is still number one. And yet, for 89% of us, it is beyond our reach. And yet, in the Bible, we are offered something that is far, far more valuable than a Rolls Royce. And it's given to us, each one, as a gift. And this morning I want to spend some time just looking at and appreciating this amazing gift which God wants to give to you. If you have your Bibles, let's go back to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. And in verse 1 we read these words, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, there was no more sea." Consider for a moment what is being said in these simple words. The first heaven and the first earth is done away with. Have you ever stopped and considered the practical reality of what is meant here? No more stealing. No more murders. You know, every night you turn on the 6 o'clock news and it's almost a daily horror show. People are safe to walk at night. Children are safe to play in the street. It's almost beyond our imagination, that, isn't it? And then there's added into this verse the simple comment that there is no more sea. No more sea. What do oceans do? They separate. No more sea, no more separation. A friend of mine a month ago, he grew up in Scotland, came out to Australia when he was 9, never been back until a month ago. And the humour was a very exciting experience to go back and see family members he never met in his life, nieces and nephews he never knew. He was one of 13 children, some of which have gone to Canada. Never met them. Never met them. And now after making one trip to Scotland, he's now thinking perhaps it'd be good to see my siblings in Canada who I've never met. Interesting story, how he never met them. Yet they are his siblings. You know, it's an amazing thing that this verse says, hey, new heaven, new earth, no more sea, no more separation. Separation. Of course, there's separation when a loved one dies, isn't there? Not very pleasant when you experience that. As I said in Sabbath school class, I went to a funeral a couple of weeks ago down at Gippsland. Yesterday in Lilydale there was another funeral I could have gone to but didn't. The lady was only 61, died of cancer. Cruel world we live in. We live in a world of sin. And then there's the separation that we have that God wants to remove from our Father in heaven, to be able to see him face to face. That would be special, don't you think? You see, it doesn't end there. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. This amazing city. Have you ever stopped and considered what to expect in this city? Ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about what's it going to look like? The materials that are going to be used in this city. Go to verse 10, Revelation 21 verse 10 and onwards. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and the light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. You know, when you consider the picture that is given of this city, and there's more verses further down, hey, it's pretty special. It's pretty special. We have a city that is made of the very best of material. No expense is spared. There's no bricks on this city, it's just diamonds and gold. When you think about it, when you consider the material that is being made out of, you may be tempted to think, boy, is this place in any danger of people wanting to steal the materials? I don't think so. I don't think so. You see, this is a new city where God is the builder. And is put in a place where there's no more sin. Hebrews 11, come with me there. This reminds me of how well built this city is. Hebrews 11. In verse 10. For he looked, Abraham looked, for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is who? God. Builder and maker is God. God. The one who put this whole universe into place. The one who gives to you and to me life. He is the one who's going to be the builder of this city. Now we come to the next point, verse 3. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Beautiful new city. A beautiful new world. No more sin. But hey, God's going to be there. God will be there. It is one thing to pray to our Father in heaven, but how about the idea of being able to talk with him face to face? To be able to sit down and have that one-on-one conversation where you can ask him all the questions that you want to know the answers to. And he will sit there with you and patiently answer, and you will be satisfied. God will be there. He will be there. You know, it's interesting how in verse 7 it gives this beautiful word picture. He that overcometh all things shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my what? Son. Son and daughter. As someone very aptly says, in God's kingdom, there are no grandchildren. We are all children of his. Does that grab your imagination? Is that something that inspires you, something you desire? Because God is eager to meet with you. He wants to be a part of your life. He is longing for the day when he can claim you as his son, his daughter. But do you want to be there? Are you excited with the thought of being there? Yep. It's going to be an exciting place. But now we add more to this story. We add more to this story, for in verse 4 now we read these words, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are what? Passed away. No more tears. There will be no person in heaven going through any terrible hurt. There will be no more death, no more separation. You know, there is nothing sadder than attending a funeral. For you see, no matter how wonderful and grand the funeral may be, but at the end of it all, the person is still laid to rest in a cemetery. That's it. That's it. But you see, in the Bible we are given some wonderful promises. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Come with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verse 26 we have a little verse which says it so very simply. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is who? Death. Death is going to be destroyed. Death will be removed. Death will be no more. And then we come down to verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Reading on. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What a beautiful promise that is. What a beautiful promise it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And these verses we all know very, very well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It's amazing that one day death will come to an end. The pain and suffering that this world has to offer, it will come to an end. A wonderful hope. Former things will pass away. There will be nothing in this world that will hurt or destroy. It is going to be a very exciting place to be at. God will be there. God wants to see you there. And the wonderful thing is that even though there may be sadness in dealing with those who have missed out, the promise is given that all tears will be wiped away. God will give you healing. God will give hope. But let's consider now an extra interesting bonus. Revelation 21, verses 23 and 24. And the city has no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. You know, in that last little bit, there is an exciting thought put there, which I think captures the imagination. You see, it is one thing to see people who have passed on that you know and love. But consider for a moment those people from the pages of history who we read about. Consider the following. How about the name King David? Exciting to meet him, don't you think? Then there is the name of King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. How amazing it would be to sit down and chat with him. And then there is King Nebuchadnezzar, to meet with him. But then when we consider what we just read in this verse, when we meet up with these individuals, we are going to see them as a king. As a king. Because it says, hey, they're going to bring their glory and honour. We will see them as a king. Then there are the apostles. Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul. Hey, would you like to meet with them? Adam and Eve. Meet with them. You see, it's going to be an exciting place. A place we're going to meet up with very, very wonderful, interesting individuals. Then in verse 5, you read these words. Revelation 21 and verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things what? New. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And I get the feeling that in this verse he's saying to John, John, get it down. This is not a figment of your imagination. This is really how it's going to be. I will keep my word. I will keep my promise. It will happen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what God says he will do? Do you believe it? Do you have confidence in it? Do you know that we can depend upon his word? That the promises he makes, he will keep. And then, in the very next verse, he gives his authority in verse 6. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. This is my authority. I am Alpha, I am Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I have the authority. Trust me. Hold on to me. I'm the beginning and the end. I will make it happen. At the beginning of the sermon, I shared with you the story of an article of a Rolls Royce. A special car which only 11% of the world's population can afford. But the point that we need to remember is that the car, however special, will one day grow old. A few years ago, 20 years ago now, I think it was, I went to a rally at Flemington Racecourse where they had 300 Rolls Royces and Bentleys. Half of them were ready for the tip. It was so disappointing. Because unless the car is well kept, it soon falls into disrepair, no matter what name or brand it might be. But you see, what we're looking at here is something is far, far more valuable than a Rolls-Royce coupe. The price is not $1.4 million. Rather, it's a gift. Mind you, from heaven's point of view, it was very costly because it cost heaven everything. Jesus died on a cross to give you this gift. But remember, it's still a gift. The question that we have to consider is, but how do we see heaven? How do you personally see heaven? Do you find personally the idea of heaven appealing? Do you think that perhaps you would like to be there with the redeemed? Consider with me just now a couple of word pictures that are given in the writings of Ellen White in The Great Controversy. Page 592, I read these words. Pain cannot exist in the atmosphere of heaven. There will be no tears, no funeral trains, no hedges of mourning. Hey, that's pretty good, don't you think? Also on the same page, in the city of God there shall be no night. None shall need or desire repose. There will be no weariness in doing the will of God, in offering praise to his name. On page 593, as the years of eternity, as they roll, will bring richer and still more glorious revelations of God and of Christ. As knowledge is progressive, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. The more men learn of God, the greater will be their admiration of his character. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, we have a beautiful promise. Verse 20. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The promise is, surely I will come quickly. I will come. And yes, he will come. He is coming. He is coming one day to take us home. To a special home. To a wonderful home. And this home is being offered to you today as a gift. Now that the city and the new earth has been described to you, what do you think about it? Do you feel excited with the idea of being there? Do you want to be a part of it? Only you can decide that. Let's sing our hymn with conviction that when the roll is called up yonder, that we will be there. Dear kind Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that when the roll is called up yonder, that we will be there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.